University.
Hello everyone. So we're here, I'm Patricia.
I'm Rita.
And we're here today because both me and Rita were co-organizers of Roots of Curiosity projects. This was actually a project that gathered scientists and artists to work together on a symbiotic object. And if you want to know more about the project, you can listen to other podcasts that we did called Roots of Curiosity Conference. There's actually two of them. And today, Rita, can you tell us why, with whom are we here today?
Our guests today are Maria and Ana, who are both neuroscientists at Champalimaud Neuroscience Program in Lisbon. And they both participated in the Roots of Curiosity project as scientists in a pair, in a duplet with the other with an artist. Can you please introduce yourselves?
Hola Rita, hola Patricia. So I'm Maria. I was a PhD student until 2 months ago. I worked in a laboratory here at the Champalimaud Neuroscience Program, as you both said. I was studying decision making in rodents, particularly how the brain uses time when it's making decisions. Now I'm working in the science communication office, also here at the Champalimaud.
Hola Rita, hola Patricia, hola Maria.
Hola,
my name is Ana. I also finished my PhD very recently. I also did the PhD at the Champalimaud Foundation, but I was working in social transmission of fear using rodents as a model. So we are trying to understand how fear of one individual can affect the behavior of another one.
Okay, so now I guess I would like to ask you a little bit more about the Roots of Curiosity project. So Anna, maybe can you briefly just explain what was the object that you created together with your pair, and who actually was your pair? With whom did you work?
So I was working with Philippe Repos. He's a pianist and a composer, and basically our piece was about how emotions and music interact. So, and how music and the structure of the music can affect emotions and trigger some kind of emotions, and what does it correspond to, or what does it changes in our brain, basically.
Maria?
So I was working with a composer. Her name is Teresa Gentil. And we were interested in this question about how music and our somatic or biological rhythms interact. So what's the relationship between the rhythms that we have inside our body and the rhythms that we create while doing something? Imagine a labor song while we're doing some activity. How does the song that we produced is related to what we're doing and what we are generating inside of us?
So it's important for the people that are listening to understand that even though the objects were created independently, then there was a moment in which all these things came together in a performance, right? And the performance was brought to stage, and I guess for scientists this was a different type of environment. It was more biased to the artistic settings, and I was wondering how this project and this different setting from the lab had an impact on the way you think about science. Like, were there any surprising questions that about the fundamentals of science and how science is done in the lab that were brought to you because of the different setting and the different approach to information, to communication, to relation between peers, for instance?
I think there was a question that came up in one of the discussions that became classic. That is, what is the history of the rat? I think that was one of those that made us think about what we do in a lab in a different way. So what happens to the animals that we kind of study them in a very isolated system, and we don't think in long term. So that was one of the questions that came out that I think that made us. And also explaining what we do. Sometimes it's strange to see it in the other way, because it seems so artificial sometimes. So mm-hmm. Those things made me question a lot.
Mm-hmm. I guess one of the questions I guess that arose in our particular case was, so since we were interested in this interface between the inner rhythms and the outer ones. At a certain point, it was difficult to separate who's the observer, who's the experimenter, who's the interpreter of the experiment itself. So I guess we started with some kind of observation, but then during the performance, we decided to put the audience as someone that had all these different roles that normally in the lab are separated. So this was something, this was, how do we deal with this? Is it scientifically correct or not? So it was a struggle. It was interesting to deal with that and to see if these are actually limits in science and if they can be used or not. So it was an interesting reflection.
I think like after these months and the project that now is almost coming to an end, we're actually going to have the release of the book that we all wrote together next week, soon this month in November. So I think going back now, we all see that this project was quite a challenge, right? And I think these type of collaborations and really getting to the symbiotic object, or even just to have artists working together with scientists, it's quite challenging. So I want to have your opinion as a first order person that was involved in a project. If you think one of the most challenging things to work with an artist was, for example, the getting to know the person and the language of, like Anna was saying, for example, the fact that sometimes, like, you'd think on things that you do on your daily basis in the lab, but in a different way, like what's the history of the rat that you never thought about that before. So would you consider that being one of the hardest thing, or you think there was other big challenges in working together with an artist? I don't know, Anna or Maria.
I don't know, I guess at a certain point, I guess I had this struggle about the objective of the object that we're creating. I guess for me, there was always this need or this will of understanding what we were doing, so what was underlying the process that we are generating. And I felt that for the artist, it was... So it's like I want to understand reality, and I felt that for the artist, she felt the need of creating on top of reality. So you have all the elements, and I want to understand what's below that, and the artist wants to take those elements and create something with those. I don't know if you agree, Anna.
Yeah, I agree completely. I felt the same thing. We're looking at things I think that's a really good analogy. Yeah.
So for me, that was I think it's a path that it's interesting to work on and to dig on this. I don't think I think there should be a common line and a common objective, but I think more time is needed and for these things to at a certain point to merge. I feel that at that level those things were not completely merged.
Yeah, but I also felt, just because you mentioned the language, I felt it hard in the beginning, clearly, because we agreed on the theme, but Flip would say things like terms related with music. I have very little formation in music, and I was just like, what are you talking about? I don't understand what you're saying. And the same thing with me. So we had to find, it was funny because it ended up in something that would be mainly videos, that would be a language that both of us would understand. So we really had to make a common ground, otherwise it would be impossible.
It's interesting, this thing that you are talking about, the different levels, right, of trying to reduce somehow the reality to a couple of elements, which, for instance, you do with an equation, right, or with a model of the world, and then having the artist or art trying to extrapolate and, I don't know, integrate even more things into something that you were trying to reduce. But I was just going back to when we started thinking, so myself, Patricia and Sam, who is not here today, when we envisioned the project, I think in my mind, personally, I always had the idea of having a complement of two things. You know, it's like, reality being explained by these two things that you are talking about, right? These two different mm-hmm. levels. I guess the difficulty is really the common ground, right? Mm-hmm. I think one thing that also people ask a lot when we talk about the project is how well people mingled, right? Artists and science, even though there were problems with language, I think in the end, most of the pairs even continued some kind of relationship and people discussed the future. And I was wondering if you have any opinion on how things ended up being so smooth in the end.
You mean between the pairs or in general? Why?
Between the pairs, in terms of like empathy, you know, like intellectual empathy, I guess, if I could call it like that.
Well, I think between me and Philippe, we had very common interests, so it was easy. We just, like, the first time that we met, we went to have a coffee next to CCB, and we just instantly started talking. So it was very smooth. I cannot give you, like, a very accurate way to explain it, but it just happened. So I had a lot of interest in anthropology and sociology, so this connected with neuroscience. So it just became, like, a fluent talk. I had interests in music also, so... And I think we both are curious people, so that makes things way easier. You want to know more, so you question and makes things faster.
Mm-hmm. And I felt the same thing for me. Teresa and I was really easy to get along, I guess. Both of us were very interested in traditions and in simple daily life things that happens on your daily life. And I think this was the starting seed, I would say, for us to start thinking about the body and the rhythms and your daily routines and the way you use your body and how that evolves with what you create with the inner part and the outer one. So it was quite comfortable. I guess the challenge was that one that you were talking about, was like when you want to then create something and then to find this common ground. I guess that could happen, but more time is needed. And I guess it was also the fact that the final object was in the format was a performance, was also it didn't seem balanced at a certain point, because the way we were going to put ourselves there as scientists. So it was finding that common ground and also presenting it in an uncomfortable context. So that was also a struggle, I would say.
Yeah, I think it's important maybe to explain or remember how all of this work and say that the scientists didn't know the artists and the artists didn't know the scientists. So we all started from zero, and the question that we asked the scientists and the artists was to really work together on some objects that would be presented in a performance. And this all took about 1 year, and we had two residencies where we had many activities where they could get together. And the way we actually chose the pairs in the end was quite natural, but so we kind of did some... It's funny because for us, we work in the side of the creators of the project. We were a bit concerned on how are we going to choose the pairs. What if they all have some kind of empathy, or if none of them click? But then actually, like after 1 week of residency, when we met in an evening to think on the possible pairs, it was very natural that some people just had a natural click somehow. So that was kind of easy for the project. Mm-hmm. But then it was nice to see how interesting how even if some people clicked in the beginning, maybe like some months later, they had some very conceptual hard moments. So I can see that throughout the project, there were many different struggles at different levels, but that was somehow interesting. And I guess because in the end the project is called Roots of Curiosity, and as Annie, you were saying, like one of the big things that you find that was the click moment was this curiosity. I guess because we don't have that much time, but I want to kind of finish this conversation by asking you, what do you think today is the what is the thing that still drives your curiosity? What are the questions that you still that still puzzle you or still admire you somehow?
That's not an easy one, at least to to put it on words. I would say it's always the way you look at the world, the wonder, and the how can this chair be something more than a chair? How can this be used? What is this made from? How can you look at this chair in a way that you will question it? So I don't know. Maybe it doesn't explain very well, but I guess it's this wonder and curiosity about the world. It can be either in its understanding, or it can be in this in putting it. Just going back on something that we were discussing before, because of this. So Rita, you were saying something like we try to reduce the elements as in an equation, like the variables of an equation. And the artists, we were discussing that they put those elements together with more things to try to create something. But I guess that in this creation, we can also understand something. So I guess that would be something that, so how can you can have all these elements, but then you create something with those, and in this process of creating something, I guess it can be used as well to understand something. So I would say that.
Yeah, I guess for me it's how I have periods of equilibrium and then disequilibrium, and how you have groups of organisms and individuals and how do they react to this constant flow of changes. So you can say a change in environment, then organisms will have to change. They have to find a way to deal with it. And how does this happen between the body and the brain? It's strange to do this division, okay, but it's a classical way. You have a brain, you have a body, but how these two things interact so that you have this constant flow. So I guess that's what really drives me still.
Okay, I would like to thank Maria and Anna for talking about this project, and I wish you to continue to be creatively disturbed.
Thank you.
Roots of Curiosity.